be with you once again this evening, and I hope that and trust that you had a good afternoon. And I want to commend you on your efforts that you put forth this evening to be here. It shows your interest in spiritual things that bring us together. Our lesson tonight will come from the book of 3 John. And I've entitled this lesson simply, No Greater Joy. I want to read to us from the book of 3 John, verses 1 through 8. John said, the elder, and to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Here we have the remaining Apostle John. And he writes this epistle to Gaius. And one of the things that stand out here, as he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so here's a personal letter to someone that John thinks a lot of. He really loves this person, Gaius, in Christ, of course. The letter begins basically by saying, to my dear friend, Gaius, whom I have loved with brotherly love and truth. Now let's stop and think about it. There is no greater joy which comes to a person's heart when one knows deep down inside that others whom they have loved through the years, that they have been associated with, is walking in the truth. Is that not right? Sure it is. And so, I want to examine some things with us tonight in this very small epistle that John talks about that goes along with this topic. No greater joy. And so as we examine this lesson tonight, I want to begin in verse 3. He said, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Apparently, from what I gather of this, there were some of the brethren that were traveling. And as they traveled, they happened to stop and worship evidently where John was an elder in the church and possibly doing the preaching there. And upon hearing about where they were from, they reported on Gaius. Because Gaius was one whom John, he says, he loved in the faith. And John rejoiced, the Bible said, to hear such a wonderful news, such a good report that he was still walking in the truth. And John, in turn, when he hears this, what does he do? He sits down and he begins to write this letter to Gaius and says, some of your members stopped by here, and they were visiting with us, and they gave a good report of you. And they talked about your faithfulness to God and how that you were walking in the truth. And you exhibited these things daily in your walk of life. and John. John says there is no greater joy than to hear of a good report of someone that we know that is walking in the truth. Gaius is a man that walked with God. Remember, we go back to 1 John 1:7. And John said there, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, that is in the truth. And that's exactly what Gaius was doing. He was walking in the light. He was walking in the truth. And therefore, he had fellowship with God. He had fellowship with those of like precious faith. And that's what they were telling John. And John rejoiced over that. He rejoiced in that fact. He was a disciple whom John found walking in the truth. At a time, get this, when the unity of the church was threatened. How do I know that? Well, you go back and read 1 and 2 John. And if you'll read 1 and 2 John, John talks about how the unity of the church was being threatened. There was some of the division centered around the truth about the nature of Christ. Whether or not He was embodied in human flesh, or whether or not He was really a human at all. That was one of the things that was dividing the church, dividing the Lord's people at that time. The next thing we find there is whether His death on the cross and His blood was essential to man. Was it necessary in order to have eternal life? There was that kind of discussion that was going on at this time. And whether the next thing that come up is, do we really have to be faithful to the teaching of Jesus Christ? Do we really have to obey the will of God? And that's why in 1 John 1 and verse 7 he said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship. You see, we can have that unity. And so these things and others. And I suggest to you that you read 1 John and 2 John for yourself. And you can see these things. Being as these things were developing in the church, what does John find? He finds one of his own. In other words, I believe John is saying, you know, Gaius was somebody that he taught in the faith. He converted to Christ. And he looked at him like a child, his own child. And he said, oh, there is no greater joy than to hear that he is still walking in truth. And I think that should bring joy to all of us today. When we hear of those brethren, whom we know and whom we've loved, and we hear a good report about them, that should cause us joy. We should be filled with joy. And so John is happy. He's overjoyed that this man is still walking in the truth. Not only did he walk in it, but John saw that he believed it. He believed it with all his heart. But you notice closely there when we read, John was impressed with something else. Look at verses 5 and 6. He said, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Now let me stop right there. What's he talking about? Well, it looks to me like he's talking about hospitality. And John says, hey, you know what I heard? I heard you're a real hospitable person. And that brought joy to John. And that's the way that we need to be, right? We need to be hospitable people. We need to bring people, you know, into our homes if need be. And show love and concern from them. That's the way God wants us to be. Even in the New Testament itself, it teaches us, God teaches us about being hospitable, doesn't He? And showing love and kindness to strangers. That's what's being talked about here, I believe. Gaius was somebody that practiced what he believed. And John said, there is no greater joy. No greater joy whatsoever than to hear the good report that Gaius was practicing hospitality among his brethren and among strangers. You see, Gaius was a man that was more concerned with the truth which these brethren taught than the fact that they were strangers to him. Now, here's something that I find interesting about this. The King James uses the word brethren and strangers. And brethren and strangers, I find, are not two classes of people. That's not what he's talking about. But they're one and the same according to the Greek phrase that I found that's used here, which simply says or reads, to brethren and those brethren strangers. Now, what I take that is that there were brethren, and then there were brethren who were strangers. That means, I believe, they were visitors. They were visiting. And when Gaius was a person, he saw that you was visiting. Hey, come on over. Come on over to my house. Let me get you something to eat. Have a seat here. Need to lay down? Here's a bed. He was that kind of person. He was hospitable. And John said, man, there's no greater joy. No greater joy in that to hear. Let me ask this question to us tonight. What kind of report do you think some brethren here would make about you if and when they visit another congregation? You ever stop and think about that? What do they say about you? I don't hardly ever see them, you know. They hardly ever come to church anymore. But maybe they'd ask about somebody else here. Well, you know, they left the faith. There's no joy in that, is there? There's no joy in that kind of report. But a report like these brethren brought to John, notice the joy that it caused in John. And so would the report be a good one? Would it cause people to rejoice because of your spiritual health? Would you be found walking in the truth? And the Lord's example, 1 Peter 2:21. Christ left as an example. What for? That we should follow in His step. And that literally means you put your foot in the Lord's footprint. That's what that literally means. Now you think about that. You concentrate and meditate on that. You put your foot in His footprint where He had been. We hear sometimes the phrase, well, that's a tough act to follow. Well, yeah. When you're following the Lord and He's our example. But yet that's what God commands us to do, isn't it? To follow the Lord. As we go through this life. And then in Matthew 7:21, now have I said to me, Lord, Lord, you're into the kingdom of heaven. But He didn't do it, the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so we have to be found, not only walking in the example of Christ and His footprint, but also doing the will of God, as we talked about this morning, working God's righteousness. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, you remember what Paul said there as he in that final chapter? He said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, well, think all these things. That word think means meditate. And so Paul was saying, meditate on these things. Another thing that I see here, notice what he said. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Wow. What does that mean? Does that mean somebody can report about you to somebody else? Don't you kind of get that idea? Whatsoever things are of a good report. In other words, whatever is going to bring a good report about me, Those are the things I need to be doing. I mean, if I'm out living in sin, you know, as a Christian, that's not going to bring a good report. No. But if I'm like Gaius and I'm walking in the footsteps of Christ, I'm walking by God's righteousness, I'm doing His will. And then when those brethren got there to where John was, what happened? Well, they had a good report about Gaius, didn't they? That's right. That's exactly what happened. And that is what needs to happen with you and with us. John said, or Paul says rather, you meditate on these things which keep us in line with God's Word and produce a good report. Because these things, when we put these things in our mind, it pushes out the other thing, the evil things. And so we're filling our mind up with God's righteousness, with God's will, with the works that we need to be doing. And we meditate upon that in our mind. We keep it in our mind so that we might walk according to the will of God. Here, Hebrews 11:39, remember, talked about all these great men and women of faith, and it comes down to verse 39. Here's what the apostle said. And all these, having obtained a good testimony or report through faith, did not receive the promise. Now he's talking about all those faith heroes that we sometimes talk about, found in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. He says they received a good report. And that is why they were spoken of in chapter 11. Because they received a good report. They were doing what God asked them to do. They were walking by His righteousness. The good report that He talks about here is that they were faithful or loyal to God until death. Until death. You notice the latter part of Hebrew closes by all the people. It talks about all the deaths that these faithful people suffered. Why? Because they was loyal. They was loyal to God, and because of their loyalty, they was put to death. See that? And so, here we find a good report of Gaius' life. And it brought about great joy in those who heard about it. And while we're there in 3 John, look at verse 12. He said, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and we know that our record is true, the Bible says. Well, notice what John said about this man, Demetrius, this fellow Christian or brother. He said he was a man well spoken of. Why was he well spoken of? Because he walked according to the will of God. He walked in God's righteousness. He was in fellowship with God and with the brethren. That's why. And because of that, he was well spoken of among the brethren. Why? Because he was loyal to God. Regardless of what he faced in life, he was made up his mind to be loyal to God. And we need to do the same thing. We should all desire a good report of other brethren. You know it? And then the second thing I see here is when John in verse 4 said, I have no greater joy. In other words, John is saying there is no greater joy than to hear that these consistent reports that his children in the faith were walking by the truth or the gospel of Jesus Christ in which he preached. You see, John's joy was set on things that were eternal. Not on the things that were temporal. Not on the things that are material. It was set on the spiritual. Didn't Paul say something about that in Colossians 3 and verses 1 and 2? He said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth, at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now he began in verse 1 by saying, if we be risen with Christ. What does he mean by that? Well, he's talking about those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've been buried in the waters of baptism. They've been risen to walk in a new life. And in this new life, how do I walk? Well, to walk by faith. And then when you come to verse 2, he said, set your affections. That means to direct your mind towards something. And he said, you direct your mind towards heaven because that's where Christ is. You keep your eye on the goal. Don't let these things of the world, you know, bog us down. You set your affection, you set your thoughts and mind and meditate about heaven. That's what he's telling us. And John said, I have no greater joy than to hear one of my children. Again, that goes back to the idea that he probably converted Gaius as walking in the truth. Remember 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7? We remember that. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we have to walk. We have to walk by faith. We put our faith and our trust in through faith's eye. We can see into heaven. We see Christ sitting on the right hand of God. And it should bring us joy. And others that know us see that in us. And they give a good report. They give a good report. That's a common thing. People do that all the time. Brethren do it all the time. How so-and-so? Well, I'll tell you what. Boy, he's just working away for the Lord. You know, I can't say enough about him. Well, that's the kind of report that needs to be made about you and I. John's joy was in knowing that there were faithful Christians doing their duty for the Lord. In 2 John in verse 4, look what he says here. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Well, John said, you know, God commanded us that we walk in the truth. And John says, I found some of my children. Those he had converted. You know, the Apostle Paul, it's not an uncommon thing, the expressions that John is using. Paul used some of the similar language. He said, my son Timothy in the faith. Didn't he? And he referred to some of the brethren. Right? As his own children. Because he had converted them. He had converted them. Now, let me ask you this. What gives us joy? What gives us joy? Well, let me put that in perspective for you. I want to turn over to the book of Matthew in chapter 10. Beginning with verse 34. And I'm sure that we're familiar with these passages. He said, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and against the daughter, against her mother, and against the daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me, he is not worthy of me, the Bible said. Spiritual things is what Jesus is talking about. And I have first place. And everything else is secondary in this life. We have to prioritize things sometimes, don't we? And we need to do that. Is our joy found in the material, physical things of this world? Or is our joy found in the eternal spiritual things? Such as God's blessings, such as looking forward to being with God throughout all eternity. You know, where does our joy lie? Now that is true, and I'm not going to deny that we can find joy in the things that we do here in this life. It comes down to the question, where's our priority? Where is our priority? What gives us the greater joy in life? Well, let me suggest this to you tonight. Here's what you need to do. You need to examine your heart, and I need to examine my heart, to see what really brings joy to each of us. Right? Now, if your joy is following the Scriptures, if your joy is having fellowship with God and with the brethren, if your joy is looking forward to eternal life with God, let me say something to you. There is no greater joy on earth than those things. You can write that down. There's no greater joy. If you're looking for joy, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. If we truly love God and the brethren, we'll be able to speak as John did concerning the well-being of brethren all over this country. Here's what Peter said. Remember, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:17, he said, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Well, the next thing that I want to look at that John spoke about in this little book, verse 4, he said, I had no greater joy than to hear. Well, now, let's look at that for just a moment. Let's discuss those three words. Than to hear. Although John was not there in the body, that is the church where Gaius was a member of, he was concerned for the brethren there. He wanted to hear about Gaius. He wanted to hear about the people that attended there with Gaius, didn't he? He was interested. He had genuine interest in their spiritual welfare. That's what I learned. You know, a lot of times, brethren look down at this kind of thing. The thing that I'm talking about. But John and the other apostles showed us the proper example. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, he said, be followers of me. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, be followers of me, even so I also am of Christ. In Philippians 3 and verse 17, he said, I urge you, imitate me. I'm sorry, that was 1 Corinthians 4:16. And now, Philippians 3 and verse 17. He says, brethren, join in following my example. Now watch this. And not those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Now here's what's important in that verse. The word note. Because in the original language, that word note literally means notice carefully, keep one's eye on, and be concerned about. That's what that word means. Well, that comes from a Greek dictionary. That's what the word meant in the original language when John penned these words down. And note those. Notice carefully. You keep your eye on them. Don't take your eye off of them if they're a good example. That's what he's saying. All the importance of a good example. Right? And these brethren that had good examples, what did John do? He rejoiced in that, didn't he? He was happy. That made him happy. And he said, that's why he says, you can notice them, as Paul said. Look carefully, keep your eyes on them. Well, you know, we need to look. First of all, we need to be concerned about our example. And the second thing is, we need to look around us. You know, there are men and women all over the brotherhood. They are good examples to us because of their faith. That can be held up as an example. I'm sure that there are those here. The elders, for one. And I'm sure that there are other members. Oh, God is not trying to, don't get me wrong, God is not placing these people on the pinnacle of the temple and say, oh, you got to worship them. That's not the point. Here are people that have went through life, they matured, they've grown in the faith. And they stand strong in the faith as a well-rooted oak tree. And they don't waver. And John says, you look at them. You look at them. And if their example is worthy, then you follow them. You look unto them. Well, that's a pretty important thing, don't you reckon? When you think about your example and my example, those who imitate Paul in their lives should be watched or noted. They should be seen as an example to be followed. And that's true today, ladies and gentlemen. That hasn't changed over 2,000 years. The gospel stays the same. And let me say this. John was not interested in gossip. That's not his concern when he writes this. He was not interested in somebody saying something to trying to ruin somebody else's career. That wasn't it either. But John was genuinely concerned for their souls. That's why he said what he did. Why I said what he did. You and I need to be the same way. We need to be honestly concerned about the souls of people. That needs to be our attitude. Here, in Proverbs 25 and verse 25, you remember what the proverb writer said? He said, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Other apostles showed concern for the brethren as well. Peter, Paul, and others. We see Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 11. Paul said this, you know, somebody told me that there are contentions among you. Huh. And so Paul had to write and tell them, hey, you need to clean your act up. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, he said, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What's that say? Well, Paul was concerned. You know, just before that, he wrote about all the suffering that he went through, all the pain and anguish, and then he said, besides all that, the care of all the churches. Paul was concerned. Paul was concerned about brethren. He was deeply concerned. And what about Peter? Well, we can find some of the things that Peter said. In 1 Peter, let's see, chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice, Peter is what? He says, I'm a servant. And a servant does what? He serves. That was a hard lesson for Peter, wasn't it? Remember when the Lord was going around and washing the feet of the disciples? Was it not Peter who said, no, you're not going to wash my feet? Well, Peter learned. Peter learned from the Lord and he said, yes, I'm a servant. I am a servant. I serve. Well, you remember the time that, you know, they were coming back and the Lord was standing, you know, He was there waiting, and on the way back they was arguing and going, well, hey, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Peter says, well, you know I am. And the other ones, you know, you can see the rest of them. John and some of the others. Philip. James. No, I'm going to be the greatest. And Jesus, when He got there, He knew what they was talking about. He said, listen, boys, you won't want to be in the kingdom with that kind of attitude. You better learn to be like a little child. You better learn to be humble. And you better learn to be a servant. Those are the ones that will be in my kingdom. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I recall that's what He told those fellows. How concerned are we about our brethren? How do we show it? Do we pray for them? Do we show kind acts of love? Or are we so caught up in ourselves that we don't have time to hear of others? Or maybe we just don't want to hear of others. You know, sometimes people are like that. I don't want to hear. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear that person. You know the reason why? I think the biggest reason why is if we are not walking according to truth, you see, we don't want to hear all that. It makes us feel bad. It makes us look bad. Because we already know we're not doing it. And then to hear somebody come up and start talking about somebody that's like Gaius, well, doesn't take long till we about have our fill of that and, you know, want to turn that off. You think about that. Now we know John's attitude, but what is ours? What is our attitude? And then he said, my children, and nothing gave John greater joy than to hear that his spiritual children were walking in the truth. And I believe, as I've been saying throughout the lesson, that, you know, they were his spiritual children because he had a part in bringing them unto Christ. The Apostle Paul also spoke of brethren in the same way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. He said, for this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of my ways which be in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, Paul looked at Timothy and said, hey, he's my beloved son. Well, not literally, but in the faith. It was an expression, you see. An expression. And we can find these things. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. And then verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 1, 1 and 2. Titus 1 and verse 4. And there are other passages. If you want to search the scriptures, I'm sure that you can find a multiple passages that show and teach how the Apostle Paul expressed himself to God's people. How he expressed himself as, you know, spiritual children that he helped bring to Christ. What is our attitude toward fellow Christians? Do we strive for that closeness? Can you not see that in what John is saying when he writes Gaius back? You can almost feel that in the letter. First of all, I feel John's joy and happiness just by reading the letter. It's exuberant. It overflows with joy about Gaius and about the other brethren that are there with him. And then he said, well, you know, there's no greater joy than to hear my spiritual children walking in truth. And then the last point, I simply want to finish by what John said here in verse 4. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So let's talk about that, walk in truth. Because John says, I have no greater joy when I hear of those who walk in the truth. And the word walk describes one's living, his manner of life, or his behavior in life. And so we have to live in such a way, once again, our walk must imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we are to walk in this life. That's how we're to behave in this life. We're to be holy and pure as God is holy and pure. 1 Peter chapter 1. That's what God expects out of us. When you think about the word walk, it also includes the way a man serves God. You know it? It also includes how his mind is directed. What's his mind directed to? What's his focus in life? That's the idea of walk. But you see what John said? Walking in truth. See? You've got the direction. You've got everything you need right there in those three words. Walking in truth. Don't you? Because truth, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it? Truth is God's righteousness. And walking, that's the way that you and I should live and behave in this life and towards others. That's the idea. And after we become a Christian, what does God expect? Well, God expects us to walk a certain way, does He not? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, He said, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all praising, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, let's analyze that verse for just a moment. Because it's loaded with things. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Notice our walk. We are to walk worthy of the Lord. And so we ask ourselves, you know, how am I doing in life? How is my behavior? Right? You know, am I serving God correctly? Am I walking worthy of the Lord? And then He said, unto all pleasing. In other words, everything that I do in my walk in life, is it pleasing God? Well, it needs to be, Paul said. And then He said, being fruitful in every good work. What kind of fruit am I bearing? Well, I'm supposed to be fruitful in every good work. Is that seen in my life? Am I bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22 and onward. There through 22. Galatians 5, 22 to 25, somewhere in there. Are we doing that? Are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit? And then notice, increasing in the knowledge of God. Are we doing that? Are we walking in the sense that in our daily life, are we taking time to study the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, to increase in the knowledge of God? Listen to what He said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. Now Paul said there that we must walk worthy of God. Why? Because He called us into His kingdom. And that's what He demands out of us. In 2 John, in verse 4. Remember when He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth? As we have received the commandment from the Father. John said those walking in truth brought him great joy. Why? Because it pleases the Father. It pleased the Father. So when John seen these people walking in truth, he was happy. Because I knew that that was going to please Almighty God. And that was the whole point, wasn't it? That is the whole point. Gaius was walking in the truth. So he showed the right example to others. And that is other fellow Christians, I should say. Gaius was faithful in all things. He didn't give lip service to the truth, but the Bible said that he walked in it. Remember in Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus charged some of the people in his day and time. He said, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Gaius didn't do that. Gaius, his heart was in it. He walked in the truth. The truth was manifested in his life and conduct. And we can look at 1 Peter 1 and 13 through 16 and see that. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which had called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of life or conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That was written back in the New Testament. That was told to God's people long ago. And it's told to God's people today. Be ye holy, God said, because I am holy. We ought to walk in a manner worthy of being followers of the Lord. How? How are we going to do that? By praising Him in all things and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 and verse 10. And when we show our love to God, we show our love to God only when we walk in the truth. Look at 2 John in verse 6. And this is the love. And this is love. That we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. John 14, 15. What did Jesus say? If you love me, well, keep my commandments. That's the true test of love. See? If we love the Lord, we will walk in His commandments. So what is truth? Well, John 17, 17. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word is truth. And so are we walking in the truth? Or are we merely giving lip service to the truth? That's the question. Gaius, Demetrius, and others stood out in John's mind because they walked in the truth. You and I need to do the same thing today. They were not hypocrites. You and I should not be hypocrites today. They lived what they professed. You and I should live what we profess. What we profess. And what happens? Well, John said when he seen that in others, it brought him great joy. Doesn't that bring great joy to you when you hear of others that are walking like this in the faith? Does to me. And so, I'll leave you with this couple questions. Could that be said of us? The same thing that was said about Gaius? Or are we maybe like those in Titus 1 and verse 16? They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. That's what Paul said to Titus. Well, it comes down to this. We have to examine ourselves. We have to examine ourselves in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that the Lord, when the Lord returns, He does what? He finds us walking in the truth. What influence do we have among brethren? What kind of influence do we have? What about in this community? And I went out here, came, what if I come tomorrow at like maybe 3 o'clock and I go door knocking? What do you think about the Church of Christ down there at Mill Road? What would people say if they were to give an honest opinion? Let me tell you a little story where I think of it. I worked with the church, and I'd go out and I'd go door knocking. And I'll tell you what, I was never so surprised in my life, because I'd go up, knock on the door, talk to them, and say, "Hey, I'm the preacher down there at the Church of Christ, and just want to invite you to serve." I wouldn't set foot in that church. Why? Because, see, all those people down there, all they've ever done is fought and fussed with one another. And you can't believe the things that went on. Yes, I attended, I visited down there a few times, but I'd never go back. I'd never set foot back in that building. But you know, I had found altogether about 3 different places I went and knocked. I got the same story. Well, something had to be done. They didn't have elders at the next business meeting. I said, "Brethren, do you know what the people around this area think of you all? Have any idea or clue? They tell me that you fuss. All you've done is sit here and fuss and fought with one another. In other words, you bit and devoured one another. And now you're down to a real small, really small, 30 people. And the auditorium was at least this size or bigger. 200 and some people went there at one time. And that same church, get this, that same church, the men got into it at a business meeting. They took it outside in the parking lot, and they was fisticuffing with one another. And the other men had to stop it. Well, hey, that's a good example, isn't it? I mean, right out there in the church parking lot, where the neighbors could look out the window and see cars going by, could say, "Hey, what's going on there? Looks like they're fighting." Yeah, they told me some stories in the past. I said, that's all got to be straightened up. I said, "Man, you got to clean up your image." Now, that's what I'm talking about. When I say, what does a community think? Do they think you're that kind of people? Or they say, "Well, no, you know, they're a good group of people. I've been there, I've visited. I really like those people down there." And of course, sometimes you'll hear people say, "Well, I disagree with some of the things that they teach, but overall, they're really good people. They're warm and friendly and kind and loving, and they do things for you." That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. There's no greater joy than to hear that brethren are walking in the truth. There's no greater joy than to hear that brethren show hospitality to those who teach the truth. There is no greater joy to hear of someone's love for the brethren. There is no greater joy than to hear that God's work is supported by His own people. There is no greater joy than to hear of brethren who have a good report from other fellow Christians. And there is no greater joy than to hear of those who give their lives to God and obey His truth. Well, I hope those things are profitable to us. No greater joy. Well, that's what I see there. And I hope and pray that these have been helpful, the lessons today, and we can take them to heart. We can learn from them. We can make corrections. You know, it doesn't matter whether this congregation or whatever congregation, if you're visiting from another congregation. You know, the Bible speaks to all of us. Wherever God's people meet, we all do the same thing. We're all governed by the head, which is Christ. We're all under His authority. But should you be here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ,
You've never been baptized for the remission of your past sin. We want to encourage you tonight to take that step. Or if you're in someone here that's been a member of the church and you're in need of the prayers of this congregation, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.